adventurers to Forge and Fable D&D podcast, where tales of bravery and intrigue are forged in the fires of imagination. This week, we have something truly special for you, a player roundtable discussion. Before the party dives into the fray of dungeons, dragons, and daring quests, we'll be taking a moment to sit down with the players themselves. Get ready for a valuable insight to what it means to play Dungeons & Dragons, from characters to bringing them to life on the battlefield and beyond. So, grab your dice, sharpen your swords, and prepare yourself for an inspiring journey behind the scenes. Are you ready to roll for initiative? Thank you guys, and welcome to the Forge and Fable podcast. Before we get started and get Thunder involved, I thought we'd do something a little bit different this week. We're going to do a players round table discussion. I'm going to ask some of the guys around the table a few questions that, as a newer player, that we may have. So, I'm Dustin. I play Corrant.
I'm Alex, or Croaker. I'm playing Marin.
I'm Lucas, and I play Bishop.
I'm Spencer, and I play Emrys.
We're going to do just a little Q&A between us newer players, me and Spencer, to Lucas and Alex. I wanted to start it off by, how did you guys get into D&D?
I got into D&D, well, I don't know if that's quite the proper phrasing. My dad got me into D&D when I was in, like, second grade. He ran me and one of my good friends at the time through the Keep on the Borderlands and Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. Though it was a bit D&D light, he wasn't going to make us learn how to calculate THACO or anything like that. And yeah.
What edition was that? Since.
Advanced Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, mm-hmm. Early, huh?
Pretty early. Not like the earliest ever edition, but
right.
Still, when things were complicated, like becoming a bard meant you had to have levels in basically every other class before you could multi-class in a bard.
Jeez,
there's crazy rules back then.
What about you, Luke?
When I was about 8, me and my brother used to play this game that we made ourselves using paper, and we had a wood floor that was in squares, so we used those as tiles, and we called it the Village Game, but we played it very similar to the way D&D was played, and I didn't know anything about D&D, and then I found out that D&D was actually pretty much the same thing we were doing, and well, made that really easy.
Right on. So I know when we were in WoW and we're talking about playing D&D, I've never really played D&D. Like I said, I've maybe played one game, like one session, like 20 years ago. I know that for a fact. And then I played maybe like two other sessions that wasn't D&D. It was just a made up one me and my friends made. And then getting Super in here. Super, you've never played D&D before this, have you?
No, I have. I played you probably played less than 10 sessions in all. Yeah, with Croaker for like two different campaigns that I didn't really hang around for.
Right on. So going into D&D campaigns and stuff, what draws you guys to the campaigns? What draws you guys to the stories?
The campaign and the story itself, while a really good story is engaging, I don't think for me, are the most important parts. I just like hanging out with some friends and goofing around. Having a really good dungeon master helps quite a bit. But yeah, I'll get into any story so long as, you know, doing it with some buddies.
Right on. Have you been in bad groups before?
Yeah, I've been in bad groups before. I mean, you can't play for as long as I have without having the occasional bad group or groups that just fizzle out. That happens a lot. I've been the cause of a couple fizzle outs myself. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, I mean, it happens. But so long as everyone's having fun, you know, you muddle through and do what you can.
Right on, right on. What about you, Lucas?
I think story is very important. If I may, like, something like Baldur's Gate, you know? It's not quite D&D, but it's D&D light, and it probably has some of the best stories in any game. And it is just a game, so having fun is probably the highest priority, but very shortly after, it's probably a good story too. And that's usually what brings me in, is the story and not knowing the story, so giving everything a shot once, you know?
That's kind of my thing when it comes to story. Story is good, don't get me wrong, but there's no knowing if the story's going to be good until you're playing, right?
Yep.
So.
And Alex, you've been a dungeon master before, right?
I have run, maybe a handful, two handfuls of games over the years. None for a super long time. I have a bit of a bad habit of starting stuff, getting a little anxious, and then calling it. But I have run a couple pretty long-running campaigns here and there. I don't think I'm as great of a GM as TK, but I try when I'm in charge. I'm mechanically strong at games. And all right, on the role.
You can't do the voices, huh?
I can do a couple, but they're very limited. and hard character swaps are hard for me. So I can get into one character pretty good. But having to play like a bar full of people. Yeah.
Lucas, have you ever ran a campaign?
No, I find myself a better secondary. I get too immersed and I end up losing the mechanics sometimes. So, I mean, I guess if you want to put me and Croker on top of each other in a trench coat, we can figure it out, but
yeah, I'll run all the combat. You run all the role play. Yeah.
That would be a very tall trench coat person, just saying.
What are some tips, advice you can give to new players such as myself and Spencer?
Taking notes. I think for the mechanic side, always think about your next move. You gotta always be thinking a few steps ahead. You end up blowing your spell slots early, later on the line, you have no spells, things like that.
Also, it helps streamline combat if you're thinking ahead.
It does. Speeds it up a lot. Which is very important when you have four or more people. Because you can turn a 3-hour fight or you can turn like a 1-hour fight into a 3-hour fight. And then story-wise, the only tips I can offer is make sure your character is fun for the party, not just yourself. Mm. If you want to make your character an asshole, if you want to make it blind, if you want to make it mute, all those things are typically not fun for everyone, or murder hobo.
If you're going to make that kind of decision, have a session zero conversation with the rest of the party about it.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about session zero. What exactly is session zero?
Position Zero is it's a very good GM tool. First of all, you get the whole party together for your first session, but you're not playing the game yet. You're building characters. You're talking with the GM about the tone and the theme of the game that you're about to play. You're developing character relationships prior to campaign you're going to run, if so-and-so knows so-and-so or what have you. And just kind of feeling everything out, making your characters.
And how do you guys feel about meta gaming?
That's no fun.
There's a place for it. But yeah, you don't want to go over the top.
Metagaming removes chaos, and usually the most fun comes from chaos. You'll have your most memorable moments when, even if somebody died, like we had Bingo die, Bingo Bango,
in our side campaign.
In our side campaign with with Super Here. And it's probably one of my favorite deaths I've seen in a long time.
I'm gonna come in as the devil's advocate, and for us the game is us sitting down for a handful of hours every couple weeks and playing, but in character there's a lot more time that passes, right? Your characters are spending a lot of time together, and in that time it can be assumed that your characters are chatting, talking about tactics, training, that kind of stuff. So in combat, sometimes you might not be as in sync as your characters might be. So doing a little bit of meta for like, I need you to move here, or come over here so I can heal you. That kind of table talk is, I think, acceptable. Because, I mean, again, you're not spending as much time with each other as your characters might be, especially in high stress combat situations. So.
Okay, I have really like one more topic I wanted to hit, which is, how do you build a good team? Like, how do you come together as a party and build a good team and have fun with this game?
I think it's very hard sometimes when you have new players, and probably the best stance to take is to let them pick where they want to start, and then like the more vet players work around that. Obviously it's just to cover every weakness that your party has, RP and combat wise. Mm-hmm. If you're all paladin like, you know, as funny as I could be, it might not be the most fun or engaging. Sometimes you want a little strife, sometimes you want a little friendly competition and stuff, things like that between characters.
Yeah. As a more experienced player, especially with fifth ed, I like to ask what everyone else is doing and then try and fill a spot that might be needed in the party. Hence my wizardliness in this campaign. And then when it comes to roleplay, sometimes you gotta steer away from the but it's what my character would do, and lean more into the yes and improv mindset. Not that I know anything about improv, but you kind of want to go with the flow sometimes. A little conflict is good, but if it gets in the way of, you know, progressing the story and people's good time, then it's not serving a purpose.
Yep.
Right on. And then Spencer, you got any questions for these guys before we sign off and get to the game?
No question, but I do want to add a little bit to the whole picking a party thing, kind of like what helps with that. Considering I'm relatively new to this, it wasn't hard to kind of identify what we need because of other video games. Because like in WoW and all those MMOs, there's like the meta healer tank DPS thing. And I think the only one that was kind of new to this is, or new to me anyways, is the whole RP section. like portion, I mean, because like bards are great for RP, maybe not the strongest in combat, but the whole tank, somebody can, with high AC or high health, that can run up there and take a bunch of damage, healer, get people off the ground, even though I've learned that healers are considerably different in D&D, where you're not just trying to throw out heals every turn. To Roche's point earlier, like, you're saving spell slots. If somebody hits the floor and starts taking a dirt nap, that's when you heal them to pull them up. But yeah, I mean, just in general though, like, you still want a tank, somebody to absorb damage, you still want somebody to do all the damage, and you do want people to have flexibility in like picking people off the ground when they fall, or giving them extra buffs so they don't even hit the ground in the first place. So it's been pretty cool.
Right on. Yeah, and for me, it's, you know, probably my first real experience with RPGs in general was, you know, Final Fantasy 7 and 8 back in the day. I remember begging my dad for those games. and since then, I've been hooked, you know, and I think RPGs brings a lot of elements. We can bring some of ourselves into it. We can bring some of our fantasies into it. And when we get a group together, I mean, this is basically just a video game that we're making up on the spot, right? So, yeah, here's to having fun with you guys.
You're here.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah.
All right. Now the... That's done. Let's get back to the action.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Forge and Fable podcast. I'm just a group of guys playing some D&D together. With me today at the same crew, we got Super Croaker, Abbo, and Roche.
Oh, yes, Super Croaker.
Super Croaker.
Super Bleeder.
He ate the mushroom. So, another thing I wanted to bring up. We had some good gameplay last time. I know, sure, it got a little hairy there in the cave, but I think you guys handled that pretty well. All things being said, it's kind of coming at you in waves, no pun. And, you know, because we're not doing any real subterfuge to get in there. So it's kind of like you guys are just up against the firing squad, you know. And got a little hairy there. Did you, Emrys and Marin, did you guys think you were going to go down there? We're coming back up. I mean, even Marin, you got close with the death saves there.
Mm. I had all the faith in my cleric friend.
I would hold that.
Good thing I saw it happen. He would have not got to you right away.
All the faith.
That's very true.
All right, so I haven't put the fear in you guys hard enough yet. I need to kick it up a notch.
I don't know. We've hit the knee four times. No,
you guys are hanging in there pretty good. I haven't rolled any. I don't think I rolled any crits. Did anybody roll a crit?
Yeah.
No.
Last episode? Crit fail.
Yeah, there crit were some fails. Fumbles, weren't there?
A couple fumbles.
There were a couple fumbles. I'm reading a message from Roche telling me about the music volume lower than the water. But I think we got that adjusted. So if you guys could live anywhere in the world for a year, where do you think it'd be? Where would you go?
Ooh.
New Zealand.
New Zealand? Why? What's there?
I spent 3 weeks there with my wife on our honeymoon, and it's just very, very pleasant, very nice people. It's got just about every biome you can think of. And it's not here, which is nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely be nice to break away, get away. It has all the seasons there. You get the snow, fall, summer, spring, all that.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't get it on one island, I'm sure you can get it on the other.
Oh, so it's a. I know nothing about New Zealand.
Well, New Zealand is the North Island and the South Island. Yeah.
Okay, so you got two islands there. Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm showcasing my knowledge of geography right now, but it's okay. I don't care. I'm majoring in the medical field, not geography.
It's funny, you go from exploding people to fixing people.
Well, I don't explode people. I explode mountains right now. The stone golems and the rock golems have a lot to worry about. IRL. Yeah. Maybe some groundhogs and squirrels.
No, not the groundhogs.
The occasional bystanders.
That's what I'm talking about.
I don't think we have groundhogs out here.
I don't either.
Not anymore.
If we did, it's because I took them all out. Ava, where would you go? Where would you live? You live anywhere?
Does it have to be on the surface? Because if I had
you
to pick
live
anywhere
in the world for a year,
if I had to pick anywhere to live in the world for a year, I would want to live on the ISS.
For a year?
For a year,
whole year, bro?
Hell yeah.
I mean, it'd be cool to talk about afterwards, but I feel like it'd be pretty shitty.
Mm. I don't know. You zip around the planet, what, like 8 times a day? Get to see the sunrise, sunset as much as you want. Play around no G, getting to talk with astronauts, getting to learn how to do everything they do because, you know, there's no handouts on the ISS. So I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure you have to poop into a vacuum.
Yeah.
I'm prepared for that.
It's a valid point.
So my one carry-on was a shit ton of laxatives.
Oh, no.
You get a case of the BGs, but you start drifting just a little bit too far away from that vacuum. Oh, someone hit the button for me.
I'll wait until the last week to just gum them all down.
I think sleeping in space would be kind of weird.
Dude, that I think it'd be a lot of fun. So, little known fact, the ISS actually has 86% of Earth's gravity. So the free fall of orbiting the planet is what gives you the weightlessness, not the lack of gravity.
I did not know that. Learn something new every day. Space knowledge with Abbo.
Yeah.
Welcome to TED Talk.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty interesting. I didn't see that coming. Roche, where would you live?
You know, I don't think I could have contained myself to a simple sardine can in the sky. So I would pick Mars.
I mean, anywhere in the world. So you have to restrict yourself to our atmosphere, at least.
We have no hotels on Mars right now.
Or Roche. Our direct orbit. How about that?
Our direct orbit. Mm. You know, it's on
Maybe
my bucket list.
Way to phrase that.
It's on my bucket list to actually go to like some old castles and like tour them. So I suppose like the best place for those in the wild, not because you know like I think London has like a lot of castles they built around and in. But maybe I don't know what Scotland, Ireland, or something. Maybe they got
Germany has some cool castles.
Germany has 25,000 of them to be exact, according to a quick Google search.
Throw a dart on the map.
Germany is nice.
Yeah, you know what? I would like to do that.
I think we should go see how many castles we can play D&D in.
Oh, dude!
you got the plane tickets?
Dude, let's go on tour, and we're only stopping at castles to play D&D.
That would be so cool.
That would be so cool.
Right?
Well, just real quick, I'm gonna steal it from you, Super. I'm gonna cut in because I think I'm with Roche, and I just looked up because I'm a huge Dracula nerd, and we've been playing V Rising, and it's got me all in the vampire mode, and so I looked up. Like where is, you know, air quote Dracula's castle, and the best one it kicked me down here was the Bronn Castle, in the Transylvanian Alps, in Brasov country, central Romania. I don't think Romania is that great of a place to live, though. I could be wrong.
I don't know. I used to work with a guy. I used to work with a guy from Romania, and he was an interesting character, to say the least. He worked here, and his wife lived there, so he flew back there for like 3 months out of the year to be with her.
So he didn't want to live there.
He didn't want to live there.
Noted. Okay.
Yeah, let's go, dude. Let's go to Braun Castle.
Yeah, dude. I'm gonna say for a year, I'd probably spend some time in a castle. That'd be pretty. It'd be pretty rad. Have to wire in some Wi-Fi or something. You know, get that thing updated a little bit to the modern times. We got to keep our Steam gaming hours ticking.
Just a satellite dish sitting on one of your castle walls.
Yeah, we'll put it right next to a gargoyle. Yeah, gargoyle, gargoyle, satellite dish, gargoyle, gargoyle.
Green torch.
How about you, Super?
I would either. Okay, so there's a caveat here. If I knew I was going to be safe and making it home safely at the end of the year, it would either be the Philippines or Colombia. Because there's beautiful country all around both areas, cool culture, beautiful women, and I'm not above being a passport bro.
What are the dangers associated with that then? What keeps being you
I mean,
well, Colombia, like the whole drug cartel and all that stuff, and the Philippines. It's, I don't know.
Okay.
My uncle's partner is from Colombia, so he goes there about once a year. And he's a pretty average, balding white man, so.
but he doesn't live there.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is they don't want to kidnap him.
Right.
We don't want that bald white guy. All right. Last one. That's it. That's all I can handle.
Our shot?
Yep. It's going to
happen.
Hold
your breath.
Wait, you doing it?
All right, I need yeah, so Super coached me on this off air a moment ago, and he gave me some pointers when I'm going to take a shot. So I'm going to follow his guidelines right now.
So you breathe in, take the shot, and then exhale. Right?
Wow.
Now you can be an alcoholic with us.
I mean, that was pretty smooth. Not gonna lie.
Is that the second
shot talking?
It might
be because I'm primed up. Yeah, it might be because I'm primed up. You know what I mean? Like we got the primer started a little bit. Going for it. A little recap. Our group of average adventurers started out in the city of Neverwinter. They were asked by their friend, Gundren, to escort a shipment of goods to the city of Phandalin, or Phandalin. Upon their journey to Phandalin, they hit the Tribor Trail, and they were about a half a day away from making it to the city when they noticed up ahead on the road there were a couple horses. The horses they were able to deduce belonged to Gundren and Sildar. With all their belongings and stuff scattered on the ground, they saw trails leading off in a direction, but just as they were about to head out, they were ambushed by a group of goblins. Blows were exchanged, some people fell, and after the battle had cleared, we reestablished our ranks and headed out in the direction of the tracks up a trail. So, yeah, you guys head up the trail, and you found a cave. There's a cave with a creek flowing out of it. You made your way closer to the cave, where then you heard a commotion going on in the bushes. I believe it was Emrys casted fog cloud.
Yes.
And created quite the foggy situation there, where we had ourselves a little bit of a standoff. It seemed that the goblins that were hiding in the bushes weren't too thrilled about running out into the open, and you guys were kind of waiting for the goblins to come out, and that's when Mrin made his move, and he went in hard.
Made Gimli pretty proud.
Pretty bold action right there. Nicely well played. I think we had a little bit of shape-shifting going on. Bishop took the form of a goblin who I completely forgot, by the way, that your clothes don't change. So you would have been just in some baggy-ass clothes, like, standing around. And it would have been much more obvious to the other goblins. But they don't know. They're stupid. We'll just play with those. They're the outside crew. They're not.
Hey,
the
look
the
at my new duds.
Look what I found. You guys handled business there. However, one did manage to run and make his way into the caves. And so where we left off was you guys were getting ready to walk into the caves. Was there anything else? Am I forgetting anything? I think that pretty much
we did retreat and have a short rest, but other than that.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys, that's right. You guys did cut off to the forest for a little bit for a short rest. Mm-hmm. And then
we sent, Tharn, my familiar, through the caves on a bit of a scout.
So you guys were able to kind of recon the caves, make up a little cave map, and figure out what is occupying the cave. All right. Well, with all that out of the way, I guess we'll just jump back into it. We are not in turns at the moment. However, Emrys, you cross the threshold of the cave, and immediately you notice to your right-hand side there were you saw briefly like the side of one from when as you were beginning to walk in, but now it's very clear there are some dogs there, and they see you. Wolves, I'm sorry, not dogs. There's a difference. There are some wolves there, and they do see you, and they are not too happy.
Whoa, easy there. I'm gonna kind of pull the goblin that's directly in front of me back to see if there's anything cool on it. And then afterwards, I'm going to try to work some magic on these wolves, try to calm them down, see if we can get them to a less hostile state.
Okay, so you go to reach down to grab this other goblin, and that's when you notice another goblin walking behind the wolves and making his way over to the stalagmite. And you see him reach to the stalagmite, and he detaches one of the wolves as the wolf comes sprinting straight towards you.
Oh, shit.
Roll for initiative.
Oh, here we go.
I need to make an encounter with everybody.
Got a 21.
Okay, what did you roll, Marin?
5. Big 5.
Alright, a big 5, and your owl's gonna go on your turn.
Yes, sir.
Alright. Kyren.
Oh boy.
You see just briefly Emrys reached down for the corpse of this goblin, and then as a so you see Emrys reach down to the goblin, and he begins to grab him to pull him out, and then you see a flash of fur just past him, just very quickly come into sight. What would you like to do?
Could I tell if I have a clear shot to shoot at this?
It would be difficult. You have both Bishop and Emrys sort of in your way there.
Okay. I want to shout to Emrys, back up! You're about to be swarmed! And then I want to fire at the wolf. 22 to hit.
That'll do it.
Alright. Epic! 1 plus 4, so 5 points of damage.
Alright. 5 points of damage.
And then I'm going to take a 5 foot step back.
Alrighty. That ends your turn. That brings us to Emrys. You see not the wolf that lunged at you, but the other one here. You see it go into like a frenzy now, and it is just freaking out, barking viciously at you, and it's pulling on its chains. Looks to be holding up though, for now. But you could tell that where it's at, it is yanking hard on these chains. That will end his turn, and the wolf that is directly next to you lunges out at you. God, this is irritating. Rolling that dice. Hanging in the arrow. Sorry. First roll.
Whoa.
Stuck.
We're cutting.
Cutting out now. Let's give it a minute. Or I'll finish it. So the dog lunges out and he eats your face and you're dead.
No, he eats the goblin. He went for the goblin. I know he's going to say that.
Nope. You are dead. I'm sorry. I'm the GM now. And a meteor lands on...
I veto
on...
that.
Nope. Meteor lands on Bryn and Kyren. You guys are dead. And Bishop becomes a demigod. And
rocks fall. Everybody dies.
Well, see, I'm excited because I'm going to roll this dice that's been charging up forever.
Oh, dear.
I'm going to get a 4.
16 to hit.
Yep.
Oof. Oof. It's going to be minimum damage. 4 points of piercing damage. This thing lashes out, bites onto your forearm as you're grabbing the goblin.
Did you get a +2 to AC for the goblin shield?
that ends his turn, and you see the goblin standing over there, reaches for the other chain, and releases the other wolf that was frantically trying to get to you. It has now been released. And that brings us to Emrys. What would you like to do?
I would like to get the fuck out of here.
Nope.
Nah, stay a while, man. Bishop's got your back.
Stay a while and listen.
Yeah, well, Bishop just said I died. I don't trust him.
Stay a while and be dog food.
Yeah, right? No thanks. Let's see, what do I want to do? I think I'm just going to mac the one... Actually, you know what? If I were to try to run, it provokes an attack of opportunity more than likely. If it lands, do I get a move afterwards?
If you survive.
Yeah, if
As long as you're alive.
You can take a disengage action and not provoke, but it will take your action.
There's such a thing? I didn't know.
As a rogue, action. It's a bonus action, but as anybody else, it's a full action.
Yeah, so you won't be able to do anything, but you can... get out of dodge if you need to.
Okay, then that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the disengage action. I'm going to move back.
All right. Disengage. Run out of the cave. You shove Bishop face first down into the water as you run past him.
Serves you right, jerk.
All righty.
We have wolves in there.
Does that end your turn?
Yeah.
So some things happen. You hear some barking, and it's Marin's turn.
Sick. Alright, let's see if I can see into this cave here. The dead goblin. It's the only wolf I can see. So I am going to step forward, and I'm gonna point at the wolf, and I'm gonna give a shout in Dwarven. I'm gonna shout out Karadhak, and cast Mind Sliver on it. It needs to make an intelligence saving throw.
Oof, I don't like that. Let's see what we got here. Wolves, not the smartest. We'll just say that.
Good for us.
Come on, green dice, let's go. Give me something good. Okay. It's a 14.
That is
just enough.
Oh.
Oof.
Well, it's a little more than just enough. 13 is the DC there. Which is quite unfortunate. I'm going to send Darren in here. Oh, can't move through walls, eh? Move Darren in here. It's going to form the help action on this wolf. And then it's going to fly up and perch on maybe like a stalactite or something like that, if possible. If not, I can fly out of there with flyby attack.
I'll say there's a little nook on that cave ledge you can post him up on. That's fine.
Cool. And I can't like see through any of this here, even with the owl.
Oh yeah, I'm seeing that too.
That's weird.
Let me adjust his vision. Maybe he doesn't have.
He has night vision.
Yeah, should.
Yeah,
do.
He has dark vision. Let's see.
Does
vision
he...
range. Maybe it's the vision range issue. Let's try that.
Oh, that is.
That work?
Much improved. Yes.
Alrighty.
Oh my. Okay.
He said, "Oh my."
I can see all the way back in there now. Okay. I don't know that there's much more I can do with my failed cantrip. But I will stay here. Next person to attack this wolf will have advantage. And that'll be it for me.
Bishop.
Let's go ahead and check his wisdom.
All right. Wolves. Not very wise. Oh, that's going to be a 6.
That hits.
He has already taken damage.
Quick question.
Yes.
Do I roll with advantage?
On no, a spell? That would be.
No, that would you're be rolling damage. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you're just rolling your damage dice right now.
So that's. Hey.
Ooh.
Oh, did you see the skull pop up on him?
I did.
That was so cool.
Damn.
yeah, you the sound of the bells start to toll in this wolf's head, and he just falls. He did.
Guess he couldn't handle that dog whistle, huh?
Nah, he couldn't handle that whistle.
I'm gonna step up to here.
So you're going to go about 10 feet, 15 feet into the cave?
Yeah, I'm going 15 feet into the cave. I'm against the wall, like the entrance. I just like run across and like put my back against the doorway. And I hand motion for Kyren to breach the room.
Okay.
Little SEAL Team 6 action coming on.
Hell yeah.
Alright, the monk has been activated.
Alright, I want to move up 5, 10. It would be crossed. So 10, 15. I can see the goblin. What to do here? Do I see like all the wolves have been released or no?
What you can see is that there's still one on a chain. It's the one furthest away from you. The one that's closest to you has seen, turned, and saw you come into the cave.
Okay.
That is, they're just mad. They're just barking, just super angry.
I'm going to take a shot at the goblin.
All right, shot at the goblin.
Nice. Oof.
No. Oh.
Nice.
Nat one.
Ooh, nat one.
Are we doing the dice?
We are doing the damn thing. Let me find it. I should have had this brought up. Let's see. Desktop. Gaming. TTRPGs. Go ahead and roll a D100.
46.
Okay. you shoot at the goblin, your shot goes wildly off target, and you drop your bow.
Oh, wonderful.
Into the water, and it's starting to drift away from you.
Okay, I'm going to use the rest of my move action. Go 5, 10, and cut it off. And tell and then look over at the other two and go, two more wolves and a goblin coming. Prepare yourselves. And I'll end my turn.
All right, nicely done. All right. It brings us to my wolf here. This one, freed from his chains, seeing Bishop run around the corner, is going to come out and turn and run up to Bishop. He is going to lash out and attempt to bite Bishop. Alright, I don't think that does it. 8 to hit.
That does not do it.
Yeah, he lashes out at you, and at the last second you're able to bring yourself away from him and avoid being bitten. That ends his turn. The goblin now reaching for that last chain, and it sees an owl fly up into the cave.
Oh, dinner!
Goes to shoot at the goblin. Or at the owl.
Shot himself. Yes!
I realize I cut out right there. That's an 11 to hit.
Yeah, it's just enough. Unless I got cover of some sort up there.
I think he's just perched up on like a little like a little ledge. Oh, all right. Minimum damage, 3 points.
Doesn't matter. Got one hit point. This owl poofs out to its original dimension.
Ooh, that's rough.
And he is going to... He's going to shout, "What? Where go?" That ends his turn. Emrys, you are up.
Alright, I'm going to move back into the cave till I can see the goblin. And I'm going to thorn whip him. I'm going to reach out my hand in a whipping motion. And
I like that.
Let's see what can happen. How do I make this do its spell again? Okay, cool. So I'm going to roll for attack.
Okay.
Ooh,
oh. Nice.
Ooh.
Yeah, that hits.
Does it 23?
23. Definitely hits.
All right, I'm going to roll for some damage. Ah, a one.
One damage.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to pull him towards me.
Is that 5 or 10 foot pole?
It is a 10 foot pole.
So you pull him right up to you.
Okay. And then I'm going to, I think, move up to here, still be within range of it, right?
Yeah, you are within his 5 foot range.
What is this one here still alive?
Very much so. It just attempted to bite Bishop.
Okay. Cool. Well, chill here. I'm gonna pass my turn.
Okay, you pass your turn, and it is the wolf's turn that is still in the cave, and it goes to sprint out of the cave and hits the end of its chain, and it's just frantically barking. Marin, it is your turn.
Yeah. Where's this goblin that got pulled? Oh, I thought that was the dead one. Oh, they're just in the same square. Okay.
Yeah, they're in the same spot. I can get rid of one real quick. Clean it up.
I would not have approached goblin. Well... Maybe I would have approached goblin. And I'm gonna take a swing at it with my axe. Two-handed.
Taking that swing.
17 to hit.
Oh yeah, that's gonna hit.
Excellent. I need a d10 here. Oh. 9 points of damage.
Woohoo!
How do you want to do it, buddy?
I just want to, I mean, this goblin just got pulled forward by Emrys's thorn whip, so I assume it's wrapped around his arm or something, digging in, and he's fighting back against it. So I just want to step forward and remove the arm entirely, and then he can fall back and bleed out, as it were.
You lop his arm off. He sees that it's gushing blood out, and he faints and falls forward into the water and dies very shortly thereafter.
All right, and then I'm going to step back on out here. I'm going to curse a bit under my breath about the death of my owl. Well, the temporary banishment of my owl. Same difference.
All right. I can remove him. Let's see. All right, Bishop. This dog is just... This wolf, I'm sorry. I keep saying dog. This wolf is angry. It's barking. It's lashing out at you, trying to bite you. You manage to avoid it once. What do you do?
Try and bite me, will ya? Let's go for a home run.
All right, roll that. Roll that to hit dice.
Does a 19
hit. Ooh, nice. Oof.
Yeah,
you definitely connected with the ball there with your bat.
And 5 points of damage.
Nice. All right. 5 points of damage. Not too bad. He's still up, though. You imagine you club this dog across his face. It whimpers slightly and goes back to being angry and barking at you.
That will end my turn.
I called it a dog again.
You did.
Alright. Kyren, it's your turn.
Okay, I want to see if you'll let me do this. No. I imagine...
No.
Well, in that case...
Alright, what do you got, man? Let me hear it.
So I imagine I'm seeing my bow float towards me, and I step between the string and the wood curve and let it latch onto my leg, basically, and then just take penalty like to movement, like half speed, and I want to if you'll let me, and I'll move up to flank the wolf.
Yeah, Croker, I think we determined, because I always played it, the interact with an object is an action regardless. So if, like, you dropped your weapon and you want to pick it back up, it was an action. I homebrewed that because I felt like, because it was just a better, more gritty kind of a rule. But there is an actual rule where, as part of your movement, you can pick your weapon up, right?
You can draw or stash a weapon. I think picking it up from the ground might be different. I'm trying to... Trying to look it up right now.
There was some, I think there's some stupid rule where if you spend
it as part of your
movement,
move, yeah. But I don't know if retrieving it from the ground. Counts.
I'm not really retrieving it. I'm just latching it onto my leg by stepping.
Kick a small stone is listed as interacting with objects around you. One of the three actions you can do.
Take an action. Yeah.
No, it would. Be one of the things you can do as in tandem with your move action.
To kick
like
a stone.
Opening a door, yeah.
But you're trying to pick your bow up, right? Or no?
No, I'm not trying to pick it up. I'm just trying to latch, like the string and the...
So you're trying to put your foot through
I'm just hooking it. I'm just hooking it and taking it with me so that way it doesn't roll down the river.
So this image I have is you running up the river with this bow across your ankle?
Yeah. That's why I said I'll take like half speed, you know, move at half speed.
I like it. Go ahead.
Okay.
You can at least kick the bow at the dog.
So, I'm going to move half speed, but it'll still get me there if you're going to let me do that. And I want to flank the dog.
What were those things that they had as kids that like went around your ankle and you spun it around on one?
The Skip-Its. Yeah.
That's what you're doing with your bow.
You don't. You play Skip It while playing Bop It.
Oh, jeez.
It'd be legend.
That would be legend.
All right, and then I'm going to do an arm strike against said dog. Said.
Bring it. Yeah, his back is to you at the moment. He's trying to. He's still trying to latch onto Bishop.
Oh, I get advantage on this since I'm flanking, don't I?
Yep.
So I'll roll again.
Oh, that one 41. Came out with some force.
You know, I liked your first roll a lot better.
The nine.
So I'm going to. I'm gonna kick with my legs, smacking it with the bow.
All right, kick away with your silly bow across your feet. That's so funny.
Of course, it's gonna be one. Minimum damage, five. Makes sense, though.
All right. Still up.
And then bonus action, unarmed strike.
Oh, dang.
21 to hit.
Eesh, that hits.
And then I'm just going to punch. Or do a drop kick. Do a drop kick. Or 6 damage.
That's going to do it. So tell me how this drop kick plays out.
So dragging this bow with me. I go to swing upwards, and the bow smacks him right in the face as I go to lift my leg, and then I do a heel drop kick, right into his back.
Yeah, you pretty much smash him, and break him into a V. He hits the ground, lets out a little yelp, and just hits the ground there. He has died. We shall remove him from the tracker.
Oh,
does
yeah.
that end your turn?
Yeah, that'll end my turn.
Alright, you still have the one there right next to you, and it is just barking at you. Emrys, it is your turn.
Okay. I think I'm going to Thorn Whip. It's been doing me pretty well today.
Remember, he is at the length of his chain, though.
Yeah, I'm hoping I can choke him out on that chain. I yank him 10 feet, but he doesn't go anywhere. It just chokes him out. Oh, no.
Wow.
You lash out to whip this thing, and you manage to snag Kyren's ankle.
Oh, no. I'm not going to pull.
You're not going to pull. All right.
Do I roll damage?
How many piercing damage does Kyren take from your thorn whip going around his ankle?
Oh, my God.
It's only 3, fortunately.
Yeah, but that dog knocked me out now.
Do you want me to pull? I can pull you out of combat.
I mean, no, because then it's
it force doesn't give movement an does not yeah, provoke attacks of
guys, look, oh, I called it? In I called no. in SEAL Team 6, okay? What is this? You got a guy running up with a bow on his foot.
This is SEAL Team 5.5, Roche.
The other guy is thorn whipping him.
I mean, if it doesn't provoke, oh, then yeah.
Well, that could be it. Like, I go to lash out with the thorn whip, and then the bow is still flailing about, and it intercepts the whip. And then the pulling of it is what does the damage.
Right, but he's already as close as he can get to you from your angle.
So he can't pull me.
I meant pulling on the bow is what did the damage to Kyren.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Let's see, you have some movement and a bonus action. Would you like to do any of those things?
No, I think I'm good here.
Excelente. Does that end your turn?
It does. Here, let me pass it.
Alright, moving up next in order here is my wolf. I got it right this time. I didn't call it a dog. It's going to attempt to bite Kyren. That is a 12.
Miss.
I'm going to just set this dice somewhere else because it's not doing it.
All of you guys
long enough, apparently.
All of you guys want to switch up your dice?
There's been a lot of one.
All right,
between
Bryn.
Minimum damage and D1s.
Yeah. I'm going to come in here. I'm going to say, let Bishop and I handle the dog at distance. And I'm going to another thrusting gesture toward the dog with my free hand. And I've changed the word since the last time I cast it, because I've been going through the Dwarvish Dictionary. I'm going to yell out Karad Sabrak, and it needs to make an intelligence saving throw.
Ha! It's a wolf.
Mm-hmm. Last one made it, so.
You targeted the dog.
Oh, shoot!
It's okay. I rolled a 5.
That is not gonna do it.
I don't like it. I don't like
my
it.
My argument gonna take... is the GM couldn't tell which one was which.
It's only gonna take 2 points of psychic damage, but until the end of my next turn, the next saving throw it makes will have 1d4 subtracted from it.
All right, let me put some marker on it for that.
Sliver of psychic
you won't
energy
need to.
Is thrust into its mind.
Oh, I won't
I'm about to.
To
use it.
Pretty brave words there. All right. I'll get you yet, Kyren.
Don't worry, we'll get him for you.
I'm a surprise.
If you want to end your turn, or I can.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Let me hit it here.
All right, Bishop. What are we doing?
You know it.
You have a wolf trying to bite.
You know the play.
You're SEAL Team 6, Monk.
Hear the bells.
God. All right. All right. Bells start to toll.
It's got a minus 1d4 on this saving throw.
Who rolls the d4?
It doesn't say. Would you like me to roll it?
Yeah.
All right.
Roll low.
I did, in fact, roll a 1.
Damn.
I appreciate
that. All right. That. Because I, in fact, only rolled an 8, so it puts me at 7.
They don't got a negative int modifier just built in?
That's a wisdom one, and he actually has a plus modifier.
Animals are pretty wise creatures.
Got a plus 1 to that roll. Intelligence, I have a minus 4, so. Stupid wolf.
Is he damaged already?
Yeah.
He is?
You don't know.
Well, to roll the dice, right?
I'll never tell.
Ooh!
You better figure that out quick.
Max damage.
Yeah, man. Why don't you just tell me how this goes down? Because he got.
I imagine he hears the bells. And he starts barking wildly like a dog whistle, and I like wolves, so he ran away.
Wah wah wah.
No, his head exploded all over Kyren. Sorry.
Just bursts, and you see this blood just spray out everywhere in the cave, and Kyren's just drenched in wolf blood.
Yep.
I'm going to unwrap my bow from my ankle and Emish's thorn whip from my bow, and then rinse off in the stream.
I'm going to look around the room where the wolves were.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, so this is like just a small, dank chamber on the east side of the passage as you guys came into the cave. You notice that it narrows to a steep fissure at the far end, far east end over here. And you see that at the bottom of the fissure on the ground there, you see just all this like packaging and like burlap sacks, and it looks like, you know, if there were shipments or food supplies that were being sent, that perhaps it had been discarded down the fissure and ended up here on the floor.
Oh, my favorite chip, the Agritos.
I'm going to approach said fissure, and I want to look around see if I can see where this is coming from.
Okay, yeah. So you see it's just a narrow opening on this east wall, and it goes up. It's like a natural chimney, and it looks like it climbs up about 30 feet. And like I said a second ago, that at the base what you're standing in is just rubbish. It's been discarded through this opening above. It looks like things have been just thrown down on this fissure the whole way. You can see like just trash that is scattered about on it.
Well, look back at Mirren, and don't suppose you can send your bird up there, yeah?
I don't know if you caught it in that last fight, but my bird is dead for the moment. I'll need 10 or so minutes to get it back from the ethereal.
Interesting.
But, if I had to take a guess on the previous scouting we did, that's where the bugbear and his dog lives.
How many were up there?
Up there in that room, in particular? Just yes. The bugbear and his wolf. But just outside were another 4 goblins, 2 more wolves.
So we have a question of, do we climb and try to take this bugbear down, or do we go through the front door?
I'm not so confident in my ability to climb up a 30-foot shaft.
Yes, indeed. Dwarves are known for their climbing.
Well, we do a fair bit of climbing, but we usually have pitons and ropes. Nor am I very inclined to climb up something I'm pretty sure a bugbear shits down.
I'm with the dwarf on this one.
Yes, so that leaves the front door, yeah?
Aye, there's the front door, but there's another passage off to the west. That's where the majority of the goblins be. A couple bosses, and that's where the bound human is.
I vote we go to help the human first. See if we can get him to help us.
Aye, I think there's a another steep passage, but maybe no so steep as this. Else we have to go around and take a bridge.
Well, let's look at the steep passage. You said it's first, yeah?
Aye, it's right off to our west here.
So I guess we approach over here and take a look.
Okay. As you guys are making your way up the stream, moving up the slope, it slopes upward about 10-ish feet. Let's see, who's up front? Kyron, roll perception check.
Perception 13.
13. Okay. The stream, it's a little noisy. It's not bad. It's hard to make it out, but you see a figure walk out onto the rope bridge ahead of you. And as it steps out, it sees you, and it shouts out, "Now, boys!" And the stream, you notice the water is coming out at a certain speed, but then you see a surge, and you hear this rumbling, and before you know it, about a half a second later, this wall of water has begun to come straight at you guys as it's starting to cascade towards you. What do you do?
Turn back.
Yeah.
And tell him, run! And then I'm going to just... chances of beating that.
You guys can make it about 5 feet, climb up, so what direction would you take? Okay. Go ahead. Amaris, you move to there. Marin, you have about 5 feet of movement. Okay, you go to there, around the corner. Bishop, where would you do? This is wall of water just coming straight at you guys, and it's coming fast.
So I'm just gonna try to climb up the sledge where... What's right here?
Okay, so you make it to where he's at. Mm-hmm. What are you doing, Kyron?
I'm...
Which direction are you moving?
So Bishop just moved up to me?
Yeah. And the area that you're in is like it's a passage where you see this cave mouth that climbs steeply upward.
Are we able to duck, like, in a little bit right here, so where the water just passes?
Yeah, there's some room right here where you can come in, and it looks like a bunch of rubble, like this ledge here has been crumbling and kind of giving way. It looks to be somewhat of an unstable ledge. but this is about a 10 feet, maybe just under 10 feet up. So you'd have to kind of climb your way up there to get onto that. But this is about at the same level that you guys are standing, just there's a bunch of rubble.
Okay, so I would just move right here and grab Roche's hand. Or grab Bishop's hand.
Okay, the wall of water comes and it hits everyone. Roll a dexterity saving throw.
Okay.
Everybody. As this wall of water just comes over you.
Oh! Wait, did it register the 20?
19, no.
Oh, because it knocked Bishop's 2 to a 20. So I thought maybe it would have counted.
Okay, so Emrys, Kyren, Marin, you guys are all able to keep your footing. Bishop, you lose your footing and you fall. Roll a strength saving throw to keep your grip onto Kyren.
It's a 4.
Oof.
Okay, you lose your grip.
Can I guidance myself?
Kyren, your grip comes loose and you just watch Bishop get swept out with this water.
Can I reach Bishop for him?
Later, guys. It's all your problem.
Bishop, you take... Ooh, you take 7 points of bludgeoning damage as you're just banging against the rocks and against the walls of the cave as you're taken all the way out of the cave.
Wait, could I have reached for him as he was going by me?
Right there. He swept by so fast, it was just hard to even see. You're busy trying to maintain your grip and your footing to keep yourself there. The water seems to die down. However, the goblin... You can hear them like shouting and talking to each other. And I think Emrys, you could barely make out that he's still standing up on that bridge right there.
How much damage did I take?
7 points of bludgeoning damage.
So all I can see is this little part of the bridge right there. It's like a sliver.
Yeah, and you can barely see like a silhouette of him.
Okay.
The water subsides and it goes back to a normal flow of the stream.
So you're saying I can see him?
Yes.
And he is within 30 yards of me, or 30 feet.
He's 20 feet up.
Oh.
And 30 feet away, so Pythagoras. We'd have to do a little Pythagoras there. But yeah, distance-wise, he's 30. Height-wise, he's 20.
Means he's more than 30.
Yeah.
But just barely.
Are you going to make me do the A squared plus B squared equals C squared nonsense? Or can I just move up 5 and say I'm now within range?
No, that's fine. Because as you take your step, he shouts out, "Hit it again, boys!" And you hear this familiar surge, and you see the stream pick up again.
Well, I'm going to whip out with my thorn whip then, standing exactly where I am, to try to yank this guy off the bridge.
Okay, so you're going to try and hit the goblin. What are the rest of you doing?
I'm running out this time.
Yeah, I want to take...
You did notice where you're at, Kyren, that the water didn't go up to the ledge above you.
I was thinking if I took a 5-foot step forward, the water won't hit me because I'm up against that wall. So it would hit this wall and bounce at drastically low speed.
Well, where you were at and the angle the water's coming in, it did like a pretty violent little vortex in there.
Okay. So I noticed there was a vortex in that spot. But...
Yeah, so you had a very difficult time keeping your footing.
Okay. I don't want to risk it. So I want to take a 5-foot step out.
Okay.
And then I want right to there. And then I'm going to use Blessing of the Raven Queen, and I'm going to teleport out of the cave. Yeah, I want to teleport to right there.
All right, so you run from the nook. You can go ahead and move yourself. You run from the nook, and you just bamf out of there.
Yeah, I'm just going to quickly say, "In the shadows, we find solace. Under your watchful gaze, O Raven Queen." And then you just see me disappear and reappear.
All right, Emrys, you see Kyren run out. You should be able to. You have your measurement tool.
There we go.
Yeah. Tyron, you just see him run out and then bamf from existence. let's go ahead and resolve your vine whip now.
In the shadows, I see a goblin, and with this whip, I pull him down. 20 to hit.
There you go.
Hit it again, but son of a... And he goes flying.
Yes.
20 feet down, but 10 feet towards you. Roll your thorn damage, and I will roll his falling damage.
Ooh, yes. Five damage.
Okay. So he takes 5 points initially from the piercing of the thorns. You yank him off the bridge, and he hits the ground and takes 5 points of bludgeoning damage. And he don't get up.
Ooh. I was hoping for the wave to come crashing down and killing him. That would have been cool.
Speaking of the wave...
I'm going to take a 5-foot step now. Actually, I don't think I can, right?
No, yeah. You...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll let you take your 5-foot step. Go ahead. You can have 5 feet.
Then I'm going to step into the cave with where the wolves were.
So where you're at, yeah, still going to get hit. Alrighty, everybody roll me a dexterity saving throw that is in the cave still. So we have Mrin and Emrys.
Did you give Mrin a chance or anything?
I did.
Okay. I took 5-foot step.
Yeah.
But I just rolled... 19.
Okay, so the wave comes crashing through here, and you guys steady your feet, get a nice set planted, grab onto the wall as the wave hits you, and then subsides, and the stream is casual once again.
Well, on the bright side, I think I got him.
Did you get the others?
Nope, just the one that was screaming.
All right, well, that's a start.
And what happened with Kyrind? He was there, and then all of a sudden, he wasn't.
Some sort of fancy dark magic. I'm going to walk over here and give Bishop a bit of a light kick with the tip of my boot.
You'll see me already bending down to help him up.
He's still with us, boy.
Imagine you guys walk up on Bishop. He's just prone in the water.
I suppose not.
I'm face down. Blurble, blurble, blurble.
I've reached down and I grab him by the scruff and I'm picking him up out of the water.
All right.
I think we may need to retreat a ways, eh?
I agree. Should I check on Bishop, or does somebody else have more skill with medicine than me?
I ain't dead.
Well, I need to figure that out for myself.
No, he just got the fucking shit beat kicked out of him.
I assume he picks me up and I just lay back down in the river face down.
Are you practicing your water breathing? Get out of there.
Blurble, blurble. Blurble.
So he's unconscious then, yeah? No? Oh, then get up! I give you a heftier kick. Non-lethal.
Ow!
You take 1 point of bludgeoning damage.
Non-lethal.
Right. Non-lethal.
I was enjoying my bath. Jeez.
Now he's unconscious. No, I'm just kidding.
You still got enough kick in you to get in there?
I'm about half my strength right now. I don't know about you.
Are we gonna
He's hit his head a few times. Are we gonna
I'm sticking my finger in my ear and getting water out of it.
How many do you say is still in there?
At least 10 more goblins, 3 of their boss types, and the bugbear, not to mention the wolves.
I think we need to regroup. I don't think we can take too much more of that.
Should we take a rest? Short rest?
Aye, but I ain't resting in this doorway, and short rest ain't gonna do much for me, but perhaps for you, eh?
Yeah.
Outside of game, I think we've already used our short rest, so it's not going to do anything for any of us.
Oh, the hit dice?
You guys did short rest? I'm not certain if everyone used their hit dice from that, though. I'm kind of...
I used mine. I don't know about
I used mine also.
Yeah, I used mine.
I don't think I did, because I didn't take any damage.
If only we recorded these.
You hit the short rest button. You should see, like, select dice to roll if there's any available. Mine says zero available.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine says zero.
Oh, I have one.
All right, there you go.
Well, if we continue forth, I can't frontline.
I'm not in great shape either, but we got to do what we got to do to save him.
All right, well, if we're going to short rest, are we just going to short rest here in this thicket? At least we'll have eyes on.
No, why not?
You're the only one who actually has to rest. I'm going to take 10 minutes of the hour to resummon Darren, my familiar.
Right on.
I'm going to ready action bow just in case somebody comes down the river checking it out. Somebody want to take the other side while we wait?
I'm going to hang out here.
After I finish my summon, I can come hang out here with Mindsliver.
Yep. I'm going to ready an action to Thorn Whip the first threatening it. Target I see come out of that entrance.
Mrin, you make your way to the cave entrance and step across the stream. You look up and you see that there's a wolf headed down towards you guys.
Hold on, let me check the range here. Yeah, I'll just mind sliver it right away. Karad Sabrak! And another thrust of mental energy. Next, make an intelligence saving throw.
That would be a 12.
That is not going to do it. It's going to take my d6 are broken. It's going to take 2 points of psychic damage.
I think all of ours are broken today.
My d6. D20s are doing all right. And it's going to have a -4 on the next saving throw before the end of my next turn.
Okay, everybody roll for initiative.
Can I have my owl back as well, please?
Yeah.
I got an 18 on the die, but I'll hit the button for you. There you go.
Let me do this. Let me bring this here so I can look at what you guys got. All right. Kyron got... Bishop got a 16. He's next. I'll put that in there. Not bad. Not bad. Emrys rolled an 8. Ooh.
Not good. Not good.
And Kyron coming out big with a... with a 20. All right.
Yeah, boy.
Just waste those high rolls all you want on initiative, bro.
Hey, initiative, if you get the cut, we'll let them make an action.
All right. Let's kick things off here. Just behind the wolf was a goblin. He sees his wolf flinch in pain. And he's going to come around him, step into the water. 20. He can see, let's see, all he sees right now is an owl from this perspective. So he's going to step up again. And now he sees Mrin. So he is going to draw his short bow and take a shot at Mrin. 14 to hit.
Yeah, that'll do it.
5 points of piercing damage.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Oof.
I got you. That ends his turn. Kyron, you're up.
I'm going to watch Mrin fall. Quick, we have company. I'm going to take a five foot step out and launch an arrow at this goblin. All right, 20 to hit.
All right, so yeah, that 20 is definitely going to hit. 20 to hit my goblin with your short bow.
9 points of damage.
Ooh. Oh, describe to me your one shot, one kill method.
I look over at Mrin. He's fallen, and I simply just step in the water, churn, launch straight into his face.
Ooh, headshot. Like the apple being shot, he fucking takes it right between the eyes and falls forward. Boom, boom.
I see the wolf, right?
You do see the wolf.
Okay, awesome. We got a wolf coming, and then I'm going to take a five foot step back to cover.
Okay. 5 foot step back to cover. Nicely done. Great use of a turn there. Mrin.
Yeah, let me roll some death saves, I suppose.
It's that time, man.
Oof, 8. Failure.
Oh. Alright, the clock is ticking for Mrin.
And the owl will just move so that it's out of sight. I'm not there to command it, so it acts like an owl.
I got him. I moved him out of sight for you. Let's go to the wolf. It is the wolf's turn. After getting hit in the face with a mind sliver.
Get hit in the face. It got hit in the brain.
That too. it's going to run out of the cave.
That'll provoke my ready to action, right?
Alrighty. Let's
I'm going to thorn whip it.
So let's see. What was the beginning of where you could see it? Right here. It's cool with me because if you need, you're gonna give me some free hit movement. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that hits.
Right.
Yeah. Alright, roll survives. Some damage.
Yep, roll low.
Damn it! Big ol' one!
One boy!
Alright, and then you pull it 10 feet towards you. Let's see, so from that angle, would that be this or this? Oh no, I guess I can't go to the one to the right. So yeah, go to the right there.
Get stuck on this wall right here, so it only moves 5.
Maximum to the wall, take an RD6.
You whip it. The vine, I imagine, wraps around its abdomen, pierces it for a point. You pull it an additional 10 feet. It will come back up to where it was coming. It sees Chiron, but you're holding a vine whip that has just pierced it. It is aggravated at you. Emrys, it is going to attempt.
Wait,
to
what if I got it around the muzzle instead with my pull?
Ooh.
Your vine whip is gone. it fades after the spell ends.
So it doesn't matter where you got it.
18 that to hit. And we are going to roll max damage on 2d4s.
Oh no.
10 points of piercing damage.
Alright.
Is Bishop awake?
Yeah.
Yeah, that ends his turn. I imagine he's bit into, like, your thigh area, and he has gotten into that artery there, and he is just ripping and pulling at your leg.
So, for those at home, 2 people just fell.
Bishop, you're up.
Alright. You know what it is.
Ah, damn it. Alright. Alright.
And I think he still has mind slivered?
No, that would have ended because it was Marin's turn.
Oh,
yeah, that's until the end of my turn.
Well, I never got a turn, though. That's the next turn.
Was it the next attack, though? The next saving throw? Is that what the spell says on the next saving throw?
Yeah, before the end of my next turn.
Oh, okay.
Well, that was Bishop's. This is Bishop's first attack.
I mean, I haven't gotten to go yet, so I don't know.
The mind sliver was like a sneak attack, and then he took his turn, so that's gone.
Oh. That makes sense. Yeah, he acted in like a surprise round with the sliver. And then we got to his turn in initiative because he got the jump on the wolf he saw coming down the tunnel, and he decided he was going to sliver it right then and there.
Okay. Yeah. So that counts for durations. Yeah. Okay.
What do you think, Croker? I kind of think it's kind of the rule on the field at that point, right? Because you took a surprise round.
Yeah, I mean, I had my turn, so it would have faded.
Yeah, because if he would have had his turn and been able to have done something with a saving throw, he could have used it right then and there. But he had his turn to roll a death save. So yeah, let's just go ahead and I'll roll my amazingly high wisdom saving throw right now.
Big plus one.
You know, that's not bad. I got a 15.
That'll save you.
All right, this thing Still, still just latched on to Emrys. Emrys falls. It begins to hear like this tone, and it lets Emrys' leg go and just starts shaking its head, and then it just slowly looks up at you, Bishop, and starts to growl.
Sorry, come here, puppy. I'm in my turn right here.
All right. Emrys, that brings us to you.
I'm gonna nap.
Gotta roll death save, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
18.
One save.
All right. We have two clocks ticking.
All right. Seeing the situation.
Kyren's turn.
Yeah. Seeing the situation, I'm going to. Say to Bishop, we're going to have to get out of here after we finish this one off. And I say, in death we find rebirth. Guide us, O Queen of the Vale. And I'm going to use my last blessing of the Raven Queen. And I'm just going to port 5 feet in front of it. That will give me it's damage resistance, so I'll take half damage until my next turn.
Okay. The wolf standing there snarling, looks hungry. It's got the drool coming down from its mouth.
And then that's my bonus action. For my main action, I'm going to do an unarmed strike.
What you got, bro? Rin with an update. Thank you. Rules lawyer. I love having Croaker as an additional rules lawyer. Your half resistance begins at third level.
Oh, third level. Okay. That didn't show me on that, so that sucks.
Thanks, Croaker.
I wouldn't have used it then. That wouldn't make sense for me to use it right then. Because I was only using it for the damage resistance.
I'll allow it.
Okay, so I'll just
We're
move
new here. Up. We're learning.
I'll just do a 5-foot step so I don't have to move myself. I'm just going to place myself.
5-foot step, plant your feet, and you
make sure they don't fall in the river. Yep, I'm going to.
That hits. Your 20 hits. Your dirty 20.
Nice.
Holy shit! You still got a 5 out of that one roll. Not bad.
I'm going to punch down at its head, punching its face into the water.
The face splashes into the water and then comes back up, and it's growling.
And then I'll use my bonus action to do it again.
All right, bonus action. Punch out at it again.
That was close. 19.
19 hits.
Oh, there we go. 8.
Ooh, nice. All right, yeah. You punch this thing again, downward again, and this time it does not come back up out of the water. The body goes limp and it starts to float slowly downstream.
Quickly, save these two and let's get to rest.
Does that end combat?
No, we are still in combat. Initiative order. We are at Marin. Oh, sorry. Marin?
Yep.
Ugh.
9.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, no. Getting real.
If that ends Marin's turn, which I believe it does, that's gonna bring us to Bishop. Bishop, all you see right now, I believe, is Emrys, and the thicket right there would have Marin sort of blocked from your current perspective.
I did yell back to save the two, so.
Okay. Yeah. No. I'm just saying what he can see, because the map's kind of lying right now when I clicked on him. Those are very dense, thick.
Thicket.
Bush.
Okay. Thicket. What do you mean two?
Marin took the knee first, and then Emrys. It's just us. We need to save them.
Okay, I will shuffle on over here.
Emrys is laying there with a nasty wound in his leg, bleeding out. Marin is laying there with an arrow that's sticking out from what you would think is his chest, but he's laying down forward on it, so it's just been broken, and it's kind of like you can see it from his shoulder underneath him.
I am going to nudge Mirren with my boot. See if he's still alive.
K.O.
I didn't hear any sounds from him, so it sounds pretty bad. I am going to cast that while removing the arrow at the same time.
Okay. You reach down and cast Spare the Dying on Mirren. Mirren, you go back to 0 hit points, mm-hmm. and you are unconscious but not dying.
Great success.
That brings us to... Oh, that was a cantrip. That was an action or bonus action?
That's a cantrip action.
That's an action, yeah. Okay, so...
Well, in my turn.
You have a bonus action left?
Okay.
Yeah. Just throwing it out there.
Okay. I can't really do much for bonus action, so... Emrys will just have to deal with the fates.
All right, Emrys.
All right.
Got the one save already. All right, 2 saves.
Wow. Good for you.
Hey.
You don't even need
I'm
my
good
help.
At dying, aren't I?
He wants to live. All right, Kyren, that brings us to you.
Just in case, I'm going to just ready action bow and just keep an eye on downfield.
Okay, while, ready in action.
While Bishop's taking care of these two.
Got the bow drawn, and you're just staring up the cave up ahead. You have a pretty good line of sight. You can see fairly well up the cave, so you feel confident that if anything came around the corner, you'd get a pretty good jump on it.
Now will be my turn.
Mirren is still laying there, face down, unconscious, but not dying. And we go to Bishop.
I move over to... I turn around and I go to Emrys. Also good nudge him with my boot. No sounds, so it sounds pretty bad.
You cover your eyes.
Spike cast Spare the Dying on him.
Okay. That will bring us out of our combat order initiatives. And we are back to free play.
Alright. Let's get to a safe area. I'll carry Emrys. If you want to carry Mirren, we'll retreat for now.
Yeah, you go ahead and you carry Emrys. I will. I'll handle the dwarf.
Unsure of what he means by that, but I will go ahead and pick up Emrys, military style, across my back, shoulder to shoulder. One, you know, arm, leg.
Okay, I'm gonna say you could do that. You're pretty buff, but it's gonna be like half your movement speed.
That's fine. And then I'm just gonna start moving towards.
Or like you would just be slow carrying somebody.
Right, right. And then I'll start moving us towards this way.
So I cast Cure Wounds on Mirren because I'm not carrying a dwarf.
Ah!
He can walk himself.
What a miss.
You fell over a rock. And
I take a second, I close my eyes, and I commune with Theron, and then I reopen my eyes. Don't bother, I'm caught up.
Mirren, you look down at your chest and you kind of go to check the wound. Magically, it's been closed, but you have this huge scar over where your heart would be.
Well, thank you for the assist. We're retreating then, are we?
Yeah,
I don't see much more of an option. If you have a better idea, I'm all ears.
No, do not. Probably for the best. Then, watch the cave. And then, how far can we retreat before I lose contact? Not very far.
I think it's 100 feet, right? For you.
Yeah.
Or you can't far. Communicate with him anymore.
I suppose through like a thick forest, 100 feet is decent. but not super great.
Also, he doesn't have to be clear at the entrance. He can be back. Otherwise, they got good sight. All he has to do is see the entrance.
He can come right back here.
Give us an early warning to run if we need to.
Also, just want to know if any goblins come or go. Well, we're not here. Saw that arrow coming. Probably should have cast shield. I think I would have been just eaten by a wolf if I had, though. So, you know, give and take.
Yeah. True. Don't recommend that route. Just saying.
I would imagine we retreat to where we find somewhere safe to bunker down and rest.
Do we want to roll like a... I'm very bad at it, but do we want to roll like a group stealth to or survival to obscure our tracks? How do you want to handle that?
Well, you guys start to make your way into the forest. Beaten. Some of us still unconscious. And definitely down on your spells. The group of adventurers heads into the woods, and we see their silhouettes slowly leave our field of view. And good job staying alive. You guys didn't die.
And that was close.
Yeah.
This cave's pretty spicy. Yeah.
We're only like halfway through this cave. We still got a bunch more on the inside.
Those water traps are pretty scary.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool trap.
Oh, those are cool.
I liked it.
And that's going to do it for us here at the Forge and Fable podcast.
Find out if these guys make it out of the cave a second time alive.
Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share with friends and family. And thank you so much.
Oh, let's see here. Before you go, don't forget to subscribe to the show so you can be among the first to catch new episodes as they air every other week. A special thanks to you, Mickey Geiger, for our theme song, 8-Bit Sauce, the song Mystic Academy by PandaBeats.com for the roundtable, and the heroic battle tunes from PandaBeats.com Heroes album that keep our combat scenes epic. We hope you're loving the adventure. And thank you once again for joining us here at the Forge and Fable Podcast. See you next time.